Data? Well, just keep on coming.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the broader economy as trading gets started for the day. More indicators are in. Your Saturn becomes a collector's item. And we're watching the runways for recession. First, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P down about 0.7%. The NASDAQ is the same, about 0.2% right now. The Dow is down 53 points at 96.58. Markets in Europe are lower by an average of about 0.5%. And in Asia, shares were mostly down today. Bill Stone is Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He's with us live from Philadelphia this morning. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
So consumer spending propelled by this Cash for Clunkers program shot up in August, the largest amount in, what, almost 8 years. But personal incomes continued to lag. I mean, why the economic whiplash here?
Well, I think maybe two things. One is certainly the Cash for Clunkers probably pulled forward some demand, so maybe got people that they maybe would have saved that money, spent it, because you actually saw the savings rate come down. And the second part is we know from history, every single recession, spending always leads employment, so employment is income. So I think that that's, well, hopefully the normal sign of a recovery.
And new jobless claims, we got word this morning, rise more than 551,000. That's more than expected. We've got a big unemployment report tomorrow. Are the jobs the last thing to join a recovery, Bill?
They typically are. I would say, though, you know, the pace has probably not been as good as at least the markets would like, probably part of the reason why the markets are down today. So it has been a little sluggish, but they definitely are the last thing to come around.
Surprised about Ken Lewis retiring at Bank of America?
Well, I think it would take you to live in a cave not to know that he was pretty embattled. So I certainly didn't know the day, but you could kind of figure that the pressure might eventually build on him.
All right. Bill Stone joining us from Philly this morning. Bill, thanks.
Thank you.
In testimony before Congress today, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said he advocates the creation of a broad oversight council of financial regulators, not just the Federal Reserve, to monitor systemic risk to the economy.
Periodic scenario analysis will be used to enhance our understanding of the consequences of changes in the economic environment for both individual firms and for the broader system.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke moments ago on Capitol Hill. Saturn is about to go the way of Oldsmobile and Pontiac. General Motors is getting rid of the brand after a deal to sell it fell through. Marketplace's Elisa Roth covers Detroit for us. She's with us live this morning. Hi, Elisa.
Good morning.
GM had already said that it was going to have to get rid of Saturn. Then Roger Penske, the former race car driver, steps in and says he's going to buy it. What was the plan?
It was actually a pretty clever idea. Penske was going to create a virtual car company. He'd buy up the 350 Saturn dealerships, and he already owns a big chain of car dealers, so that's not new territory for him. And then he'd find a car maker to supply him with vehicles.
And what happened? Why didn't this work?
Penske just couldn't find a partner. He'd been talking to the French company Renault, but this week Renault's board actually rejected the plan. I talked to Eric Merkel, a car analyst, this morning, and he says Renault's backing out is what did the plan in for Penske.
It's pretty much a lost cause. There's not really much he can do with that company without automobiles.
And Elisa, nobody else was interested in this?
There were other companies. Supposedly a couple of Chinese car makers said they wanted to talk, and some others too. But Merkel told me that ultimately Penske probably just thought anything but Renault was too risky.
He didn't feel any kind of an arrangement like that was solid enough to go forward with a deal.
So now what?
GM closes Saturn. 13,000 jobs are lost. Saturn's 350 dealers get closed down. There are rumors here and there that Penske will look for another supplier, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joining us this morning. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
And by the way, we're set to get word, or at least start getting word, on auto sales later today. Listening to the Morning Report for Thursday, October 1st, 2009, at Marketplace.org. Analysts are saying it would be the most explosive prosecution of a British corporation. The UK's biggest defense firm, BAE, is expected to be charged today with bribery at the request of British fraud investigators. Marketplace London correspondent Stephen Beard has more.
BAE is the fourth largest supplier to the Pentagon. Today, Britain's Serious Fraud Office said it wants the UK government to prosecute the company for corruption. BAE's been accused of paying millions in bribes to win contracts overseas. Among the countries involved, Tanzania, the Czech Republic and Romania. The Serious Fraud Office is reported to be seeking a fine of up to $1.5 billion. Chandra Krishnan of the anti-corruption group Transparency International welcomes today's move.
I think this will send a very important wider message that bribery does not pay and it has serious consequences. And I think it's very important that we now have full judicial scrutiny of these cases and that we get to know the truth.
He says Britain's enforcement of an international anti-bribery convention has been weak. There have been only 5 cases here over the past decade, compared with 120 in the United States. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Markets are closed in China today. It's the 60th anniversary of the communists taking control. And yet the country these days is beating the capitalists at their own game, at least with regard to IPOs. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
75 Chinese companies have gone public so far this year. That's triple the number in the States. Chinese investment banks are ranked number 1 and 2 in IPO volume. The top two have shepherded more than $12 billion of deals in 2009. Trailing behind, Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. One reason for the China surge is corporate China's gradually privatizing, so the state is selling off ownership stakes. And investors notice this economy's still chugging. In fact, accelerating. The IMF today upped its forecast for China's growth this year from 7.5% to 8.5%. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
For years, other countries have resented the U.S.'s lead role in overseeing the Internet. Well, today, a new regime is in effect. The U.S. government has a lot less involvement, and foreign representatives will have more. As Ashley Milne-Tite reports, that has implications for expensive domain names.
The U.S. works with the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. That's a mouthful for ICANN, the Internet's governing body. Now, more foreign representatives will help run the Internet. ICANN assigns domain names, and it's decided to make more endings available beyond just .com, .net, and .biz. Milton Mueller of Syracuse University says U.S. companies lobbied against that.
ICANN's decision was kind of thrown into the U.S. political system, where large businesses with brands to protect objected strongly.
But foreign representatives favor broadening the selection. It could lead to all sorts of dots, like .booze, .food, or even .ICANN. Still, U.S. businesses say domain names similar to theirs could force them to pay as much as $100,000 a pop to buy out cyber squatters. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace and Marketplace.org.
There's a $23 billion agriculture bill that could soon be on its way to President Obama's desk. Negotiators from the House and Senate have agreed to reconcile different versions of the bill, including a bailout for dairy farmers, as reporter Joel Rose explains.
The $350 million in emergency funding is supposed to help dairy farmers who are getting squeezed by high costs and low prices.
Right now, milk prices are far below the cost of producing the milk. So the more milk a farmer is producing each month, the more money he's losing.
Doug Demento is a spokesman for Agrimark, a co-op that includes farmers from New England and New York. There had been some tension between big dairy farmers in the West and small producers in the East and Midwest. The compromise announced yesterday includes $290 million in direct aid, which favors small farmers. The bill also allocates $60 million to buy up surplus cheese, which should help all farmers by raising milk prices. Demento says the money is a welcome relief, but it won't solve the industry's problems.
These are just short-term fixes, just short-term band-aids. It's going to take a long-term look at dairy policy and really the whole food policy here in the U.S.
Demento says the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which sets milk prices, needs to find a way of avoiding the boom and bust cycle of recent years. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
The City of Lights is all aglow with Fashion Week going on, but given the economy, the trends have been to tone things down a bit and make the clothes last. We brought in a fashion expert you might be familiar with.
As all of you know, many elements of fashion are derived from today's headlines. From politics to pop culture to finance, fashion is news.
Project Runway's Tim Gunn is with us now. Episode 7 of the program airs tonight on Lifetime. And Gunn says reflections of the recession are included in those Paris shows.
The most obvious thing being that there were many fewer looks on the runway, which is certainly an indication that there are fewer items in the showroom. There are fewer things for the retailers to buy.
You think designers on the show are thinking about the recession?
Well, I believe, and I'm projecting a lot of my own thinking into our designers, I believe that they're looking beyond this economic downturn, and they're really designing for that moment, as opposed to thinking, well, we have this dreadful economic condition and horrifying unemployment and a retail calamity around us, and what do we design for this particular time and place? That can only be dreary and gloomy as far as I'm concerned, and we really want to look at getting out of this and at what lies beyond it.
And so what does a recovery fashion industry look like? I mean, what are they shopping for?
Well, they're shopping for items that will have a long life in their closet, for one thing. And they're not going to buy something new that has a very limited place in their wardrobe and in their lifestyle.
And do you think there will ever be a time we get back to the $26,000 handbags?
I hope not, Steve.
Tim Gunn, fashion consultant, TV personality. We appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you very much, Steve. It was great to be with you.
And finally, if you're not entirely happy with Grandma, try and put her up for auction on eBay. Yeah, you won't get very far because the internet auction site says that would be human trafficking. Before her ad was dropped, though, 10-year-old British girl Zoe Pemberton described her grandmother on the site as cuddly and annoying. Apparently no one told the bidders about the ills and the illegalities of human trafficking. There were 27 offers for the cuddly, annoying woman. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.